Acts 13, verses 13 through 52. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went down to the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, he said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them land as their inheritance. All of this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he had testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a savior, Jesus, as he had promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent this message of salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize or understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that God has promised to the fathers. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also as it was written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'
And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he says also in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you." And as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up the persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went on to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
The word of the Lord. All right, Matt, a lot going on here. So it's kind of interesting. Yesterday, the beginning of chapter 13, we read about, I would say, the beginning of Paul's missionary work. He was sent off from the church at Antioch. And now the work is continuing. He's preaching the gospel. He gives this very, obviously, thorough sermon. What's interesting here, I think a couple of years ago, I know Andy Stanley and maybe some others kind of had this, unhitching of the Old Testament kind of movement. I've heard that people try to kind of make that case that, we really just need it. It's come up throughout church history. I'm not trying to speak ill of anyone here, but it's come out throughout church history. We don't need the Old Testament. The New Testament guys didn't have the scripture for a while. Well, really, like, all that they're doing is preaching from the Old Testament.
Right.
And that's kind of what's happening here. Paul is saying, look, let's look at what the prophets had to say. Let's look at what God did through David. Let's look at the offspring of David. Let's look at the Psalms. And don't you see that all of this is being fulfilled in Christ? What's interesting to me is that he's not just showing this for the Jewish folks to see. The Gentiles are believing this. They're hearing him basically preach the Old Testament scripture, and it's leading them to believe, and it's leading them to rejoice and glorify the Lord. It's just interesting how, I guess, Paul's missionary method is never divorced from the revelation of God. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the passage?
Yeah, you pointed out that this message goes to the Gentiles, but they kind of start in synagogue. It begins there. I mean, I was just thinking about what would it be like if you went to church on Sunday, and the pastor says like, "Hey, visitor, do you have a word of encouragement?"
Yeah,
and you got to stand up and share to the whole congregation. That's basically what they do, and they were ready. I love their approach. They call everybody their brothers and men of Israel those who fear God. So there's like this, they draw them in, and then they walk them through the entire Bible. In Covenant Kids, we've been talking about after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his followers, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and to over 500 people. And he basically was explaining how the scriptures pointed to him. And so that's kind of what they do here. They walk them through the whole Egypt to Jesus. And, mm-hmm. and then they say, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. And through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And what's the result of that? The whole city gathers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible that they were ready with a testimony. They were able to explain the scriptures. And then, tons of people are coming to faith.
But as it would have it, when the Lord starts moving, people get jealous and they get problems. And actually, these problems aren't going to end. Over the next couple of chapters, we just see some of the things that Paul had to endure, which are really amazing. For his faith and for the sake of the gospel. But we'll wait to get to that. But yes, they end up here with trouble. And of course, sadly, they have to leave. It's interesting to me how, people don't like to hear something, and I said this kind of on Sunday, that may contradict them or contradict their worldview. They push it away. They try to get rid of it. They don't consider it. Some people do. Obviously, some people are considering these things and being blessed by them. But
some of the people in high standing,
they get jealous and they get all the influencers. They get that says they find the influential women and men and they say, look, you got to put this Paul guy down.
Yeah.
So that the word of the Lord won't go. They incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city and stirred persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But I love what Paul and Barnabas do. They say, okay, we'll just go to the next town.
Shake, you know, we'll shake the dust off.
Yeah, we'll just keep preaching. And that's what Jesus told him to do.
Yeah.
You know, when he sends out the 72, he just says, look, if you go to a house and they don't receive you, shake your dust off your feet, move to the next town. So, well, good stuff. Again, great book. A lot here in Acts. I'm loving this study. So for Matt Nolan, this is Jason Dees. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737, or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.